Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the Affair Recovery EMSO, EMSW, and Library Call. I want to welcome everybody to the call today. For those of you who attended EMS this past weekend, thank you for all you did. It was really impressive to see the way you guys worked together. So let's begin with our first question for the day. Hang on just a second here. Almost there. Okay. 1 second. Let's see. There. Okay, for our first question. My husband and I had an argument the other day and would like your help in navigating through the communication issues involved. We were working on finances, and my husband stated that our account had treated him like SNT following the revelation of his affair. This accountant that worked for me day in and day out for many months to help in multiple legal and financial issues that arose from my husband losing his job due to the affair. The accountant was very professional and just doing her job and working tirelessly and tireless hours, for which she got paid, of course, to clean up lots of financial and legal messes created by my husband's infidelity. I took offense over his comments about the way she treated him and told him that she had been like an angel in helping me get through a very difficult time. It felt to me that my husband was being defensive and acting like he was the victim in a situation which he caused himself. He said he was just trying to be authentic about his feelings and he didn't mean to make a big deal about it. I felt he needed to acknowledge that she treated him with professional respect in a very difficult situation. As I began to escalate, he told me to put on my heart monitor and we called a timeout. Here's our question. Are we each allowed to express whatever we think by saying we are just trying to be authentic? Is it appropriate to challenge a person's perspective by stating another way to look at the situation? What should I have said to him when he said our accountant was treating him like whatever? My husband said he's trying to learn the difference between clarifying his feelings and feeling defensive. Can you help? Well, I think maybe this is even a different issue than you're thinking about. I mean, obviously, he felt she treated him a certain way, and those are his feelings, that's his perspective. There's nothing wrong with him having a perspective, but here's the dynamic that's causing a problem for the two of you. In marriage, a dyad, just you and your husband talking, basically is called an unstable situation, because if you're both authentic, you don't agree, which of course, remember, you won't agree two-thirds of the time. There's a difference of opinion and things can escalate. However, one of the ways couples stabilize things is they will begin talking about things that on which they agree. In fact, it's really healthy to talk about things you agree on. But here's the problem. Let's say you and your husband both like another person. You can talk about that person all day long, and there won't be any problem in the relationship. Let's say you and your person both don't like another person. The two of you can talk about that person all day long, and there won't be any sort of conflict. Here's where the problem comes in. Let's say you like your husband and you like the other person, but your husband makes a negative comment about the other person. Now, you're triangulated between your husband and the other person because you're connected to both. Typically, I call that the pivot position. If you think about a triangle with the point of the triangle at the top, you're at the top of that triangle connected to both of them. What some people do in a situation when somebody makes a negative comment about somebody else is they will defend that other person to the person that made the negative comment. So if your husband makes a negative comment about somebody, you're going to defend the other person to your husband, which then creates distance between you and your husband. And they will always feel like you're defending someone else and that the other person is always more important to you than they are. I know that Stephanie and I got into this type of situation a gazillion times. She tends to be more authentic about how she feels about people. She would make a comment even about a waiter or a waitress and something she felt they weren't handling well. I would immediately begin explaining to her and giving her other options to change her perspective about what the waiter was doing, which would always end up in a huge fight between me and Stephanie because she always felt I was, you know, defending other people, never supporting her. When someone finally pointed this pattern out to me, I decided it wasn't Stephanie that needed to change. I was the one that needed to change how I responded. Her perception is still her perception for whatever reason. So what I learned is if someone, like if Stephanie made a comment, instead of trying to defend the other person, I would either say, huh, that's interesting. Or I would say, it sounds like you need to go talk to them if they offended you. Now, by not making a comment and defending the other person, it was absolutely amazing how things began to change in the relationship. And that was the one thing I was capable of changing. I decided not to defend other people. Instead, I decided it was far more healthy and biblical to suggest that she go and talk to the other person if she's offended. That way, I wasn't pushing the two of us apart by sharing my perspective, but I was just listening to her, accepting what she said, without a need to express my own opinion. I just sought to understand. Now, when she would understand, and when she would see that I was just trying to understand, it's amazing, ultimately, how much that helped the relationship. My suggestion would be, don't try to defend the accountant, but instead say it might be a good idea for you to go talk to them. And as long as you're not defending others when your perceptions are different, you'll be amazed at how it helps the two of you continue going forward and avoids those types of situations. So for our next question, I'm the hurt spouse. My wife and I have just completed week 9 of Married for Life, Anger Management. As I read back through the chapter for anger management in our EMSO book, it describes 3 distinct states of anger: aggressive, assertive, passive-aggressive. I'm looking for an example of how an aggressive person can become assertive. I struggle with the concept as I've always viewed assertive people as being aggressive in getting their voice heard. My wife and I use the example of a school teacher. Most teachers must be assertive in the classroom in order for students to learn without letting chaos rule. Those teachers use different methods and techniques to keep the peace and hopefully a stable learning environment. Can you give an example of what is meant by being assertive? Thanks. Assertiveness is still being able to express what's important, and it can even still be emotional, and you can still be upset. But it has nothing to do, or the words are expressed in a safe way, so it's not a personal attack for the other person. It's not verbally abusive. It's not threatening. Ultimately, you express your pain, you express your problem, and it's not that you avoid saying it. It's just when you say it with consideration of the other person's feelings. For instance, if I were late coming home, Stephanie could just say, you know, you're always late. I can't believe how you do this. You're such an insensitive, you know, whatever, on and on and on. Ultimately, trying to make me feel bad for being late, shaming, if that's one of the behaviors that you use, screaming and yelling, cussing, whatever. Not that she would cuss. Or an example of assertive would be I come in, she's really upset, and she may say something like, "It really bothers me when you come home late. I just wish so badly that you could be on time because it hurts me so much. This is really important to me. I hope you can understand that." Now, she's still really upset. She's letting me know it bothers her, but she's not attacking me. Instead, she's using I statements. She's not using you statements with the attempt of hurting me. Now, I may tell she's upset. I may get defensive. I may do a lot of things, but all she's done is appropriately express how it's impacted her and how she feels about it. Passive aggressive would be I come in late, and then she just refuses to talk to me for the rest of the night, to communicate to me how upset she is, but she never says anything. So hopefully in angering, you know, as you anger or manage anger, it's learning to say things even when you're upset with the filter of intentionally considering the other person, not hurting them, not trying to be aggressive, not trying to hurt them, but rather just to be heard, using I statements, again, letting them know how it impacted you, how you feel about it, and you can even ask what you would hope in the future. That's an assertive sort of response, and that can be very emotional, but it doesn't attack the other party. Hopefully, looking at it from that perspective can give you a different way of dealing with that. So let's look now at the next question. What to expect at this point? My husband and I are completing the EMSO course. I am the hurt spouse. We live apart during the week due to work circumstances. I hear you saying each week that we should be getting a lot out of our homework together, and I'm wondering if I'm missing something. We don't do the homework together, and the only time it is reviewed, discussed, is during our weekly group meetings. My husband doesn't really like talking about the affair, so things are rarely discussed. I'm concerned that we're going through the motions but not really getting the benefit of the sessions because we pretend normal the rest of the week. I'm not getting the benefit of the sessions because I'm not sure that I know what honesty and transparency means with us, and I'm not sure we're moving forward at all. Am I expecting too much at this point? D-Day was 8 months ago. Honestly, there are certainly times when circumstances don't allow people to do homework together. We work with many military couples who are deployed. Obviously, they're incapable of doing work together. You know, in terms of being able to discuss it, that does concern me somewhat. I would hope you and your husband could come to the place where you could actually talk about this in a safe way. And I think in the long run, get out of just trying to avoid it. On the other hand, if he is doing the work, I know that he's getting benefit from it, and especially if he's listening to the other couples on the call, because he's in the calls, it's ultimately being with those other couples and listening to what they say that provides the most benefit, in that it allows him to see you through the eyes of the other people, and it also lets him see other men hopefully responding differently so that he knows his response patterns aren't necessarily the norm, that he may be the exception, which then causes him to have to evaluate why he's doing what he's doing. I certainly think that being the case, there's a really good chance that you are getting something out of this. I don't know if I would say you're expecting too much, but maybe a little, only in the sense that you need to look at the positive. The fact that he's doing it actually is a lot, and the two of you could talk about, if you can get him to sit down and talk about how you can talk about it just to be able to process through it. I would hope that you could come to that place and suggest that to him. Say, how can we eventually talk about this, or how could we talk about this in a way that would work for you? My fear is when we talk, it makes you feel shameful. The last thing in the world I want is you to feel shameful, and I'm not trying ultimately to hurt you. I just know it would be helpful for me to process through some of the things, and it would mean a lot to me if you would listen to me. Is there a way we could make that happen? So I would begin by just asking if we could talk about it. The other thing that's going to be helpful is the Married for Life program after EMS. That gives a point of contact for the two of you to continue speaking about it at least once a week. And if he'll do that, even if he's not able to talk about it at this point, eventually in 6 months, in 8 months, in 9 months, I believe that you'll find your skill set and your ability to discuss things increases. So I don't think I would be too discouraged yet at this point. I would continue doing what you can. If he's doing the homework, that's great. Get into the Married for Life course, and I believe things will begin to change, and ultimately you'll see improvement in that area. So now let's get to the next question. Hello, Rick. I'm going to start by giving you some background of my situation. The past 10 years, I was constantly running into this woman that my spouse and I had met briefly at the gym, which we are no longer members at. It seemed that I was constantly running into her if I was grocery shopping at a particular store or at the mall or just seeing her on the road if I was dropping my kids off at school. I acknowledge her in the beginning with a simple smile, and she never responded, so I stopped. Hang on just a minute, everybody. Sorry for the pause there. So I stopped. I would tell my husband how often I would run into this woman, and it was getting very frustrating. I switched all the stores I was shopping at, and yet I still saw her. I told my husband she was following me, and it would upset me and ruin my day. It wasn't until I discovered the text message on my husband's phone that he admitted to the affair he was having with this woman. He knew all along that she was unstable and didn't think twice about my safety. He allowed this to happen for 10 years. My spouse says he loves me and our family. My question is this. Is his love truly genuine? And why would he put my life at such risk? I know that someone in the middle of an affair obviously isn't thinking much about risk. He was probably more worried about being caught, to be honest. And in that situation, he was 100% totally self-centered. If it's love, it's certainly in the type of love that was protective enough not to have an affair, or protective enough not to almost take care of you. Basically, he was trying to protect himself by not saying anything about it, because if he addressed it, obviously he would be uncovered. And the reason he was probably afraid of being uncovered was because of his shame and his own probably telling himself that honesty wasn't an option, and plus he was probably getting something from that relationship. There are people, I think, that get into affairs that at one level love their wives and they're committed to their marriage, but they're not committed not to stray in their marriage. They give themselves permission to stray for 10 years. To do that, there is definitely a moral compromise, and in that moral compromise, I'd say almost a spiritual compromise, in that self-centeredness, they only think about themselves. They don't think about your safety. So I guess your question here, is his love truly genuine, and why would he put my life at such risk? I'm not sure I would call it, again, a really healthy love. I think I just explained why you would put your life at risk. My only other comment is, currently, after this has come out, and he is letting go of that, he's far more likely to be at a place where he has feelings, more important feelings to you, as he's reevaluated his life, he's trying to get things together. It's really difficult to see how self-centered someone can be, and it's got to be awfully scary to think about being back in a relationship, knowing he's capable of doing this, and the insensitivity he displayed while being in the affair. I think it would take time to watch him to see if that love he's now professing is consistent. Is he thinking about you? Is he trying to manage you? Currently, what is he doing? Like I said before, oftentimes when this comes out, somebody realizes what's truly important to them. But his deciding he wants you in the family in no way takes away the pain from the past 10 years. And he would need to be very patient with you so that you could begin to see that his love is real. Without that, I don't know how you could trust again. I hope that at least explains how he could do it and put you at risk. I also hope you're able to find a way ultimately to heal, whether you're with him or not. But I would give it time to see how he does and whether you can feel he's sincere. So that's all of our questions for the day. I want to thank everybody for writing the comments or the questions. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week. Please keep those questions coming. To healing.